Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, and we are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Two nights from tonight, the NHL draft, the Predators on the clock at number 5 and 23 and 26, so it should be a wild, wild night. But the truth is that whomever they draft at 5 and 23 and 26, unless they trade one of those picks for a player, they're probably not really going to make much of a difference for the 2026 Nashville Predators. Now, I like Barry Trotz. I think everybody knows that. And I know that Barry Trotz knows hockey. And he coached at a very high level for 25 years. He won a Stanley Cup, and he was the guy that the Washington Capitals, you know, the guy that the Capitals circled and wanted to be their coach. Even when Trotz won the cup and they creamed their pants over this guy because they didn't want Trotz anymore, and Trotz beat him in the bubble and got him fired. You know, that is some Michael Corleone stuff there. So let's be honest. Barry Trotz knows hockey. And we know that Barry Trotz knows hockey. But that said, yesterday on our program, I did not like what I heard when I asked Barry Trotz what his priority was going to be. And Willie got all mad about it today because instead of blaming Trotz, he blames me for the way I asked the question, saying I was trying to play gotcha radio with Trotz. I wasn't. I was trying to get Barry Trotz to pick a lane, to tell us one way or another what he cared about. What his priority was. Was it this upcoming season? Or was it the 2028-2029 playoffs when guys like Matthew Wood and Tanner Mullendike and Igor Surin and Teddy Stiga and whomever they pick on Friday night will be of age in the NHL? And if you listened yesterday, Trotz made it abundantly clear that his priority is on the 2026 Nashville Predators, as in next year, as in the playoffs next year. And I didn't like that. I get criticized by everybody who doesn't have a brain about, you were hard on Rand Carthon, but you're not hard on Barry Trotz because Barry Trotz comes on your show. And my response to that is, Rand Carthon didn't do a single great thing as general manager. Not one. This team did not have a Pro Bowler. The picks he made stink. The free agents were awful. Barry Trotz made the playoffs in year one with a head coach who was a candidate for the Jack Adams Award in his first season. That said, last year was an abomination for both the Titans and the Predators. But with the Titans, everybody except them, remember we checked every box, everybody except them expected the Titans to be bad, including me. I did, Vegas did, the NFL pundits did. With the Predators, nobody expected them to be bad last year, and they were. Barry Trotz took a swing with Brady Shea, Jonathan Marchessault, and Steven Stamkos, and it did not work. That was a real swing. He got in the box, and he took a rip, and he missed. Now, there were some question marks going into last year, like, Tommy Novak as a second-line center entering the season. But at the end of the day, there was reason to believe the Predators were headed in the right direction. But here's where I'm starting to lose faith in Trotz, a la Rand Carthon. The mission statement that Barry Trotz put out yesterday, we're not going to change much, and we expect to play better. And that is not acceptable to me. We're not going to change much. It's going to be a lot of the same guys. It's going to be the same coach, but we expect that we'll be better. Somebody explain to me how that's going to work. Now, I understand the idea that if Steven Stamkos didn't hit the post and the puck goes in the first game at home against Dallas, they don't start off 0-5. And maybe it would have been a totally different season. They were chasing it the entire way. And Barry Trotz believes with a fresh start, given the fact that everybody starts off 0-0 at the beginning of the year, and an understanding from everybody who was on this team last year that they better get off to a better start this season, that things will work. But that's not really even a glass half full approach. I think that's the glass isn't empty approach. And it's the first real stroke with Barry Trotz as the general manager of, come on now, when it comes to the things he said and done for me. Trotz kept harping on the players and how he knows they aren't bad. But if you know the players aren't bad, if you know that you put together a good collection of players and they finished 30th in the NHL, then you have to change the coach. You cannot have it both ways. Because for whatever reason, and I think Burnett's a good coach, but for whatever reason, he did not get through to the players last year. And there are winning coaches who are available. Peter Laviolette is available. And we know Peter Laviolette can coach veteran players and can win. Peter DeBoer is available. And he's been to 3 straight Western Conference finals. So there are people available. If you think the players aren't the problem, there are people available to coach the team. But he's not going to change a coach. And I said yesterday before Trotz came on the show, because this is what I believed, that I'm fine with telling the fans, hey, we took a shot with the old pawpaws and it didn't work, but we're really focused on the future. We're going to try to win this season. We're going to try to compete this season. But our focus is on 2028 and 2029. But Trotz wouldn't say that. And Willie thought I was trying to play gotcha with him. I wasn't. I was just trying to erase any ambiguity about where his priorities were. Because people would say to me, Barry Trotz put that team together last year that was a massive underachievement. Barry Trotz won't fire the coach. Barry Trotz is too loyal to these players. Barry Trotz won't make the big move. And for me, I've said, look, they took a shot. It didn't work. But the real focus on Barry Trotz and evaluating him is Wood and Mullendyke and Surin and Stiga and who they pick on Friday night. But if you're telling me that the priority for this organization is this upcoming season, then I have to go by what you tell me. They weren't my words. They're his words. Willie talked about trying to thread the needle. You can't have it both ways. One has to take priority over the other, period. And I thought the priority was 28 and 29. I was wrong. So unless we see some fireworks and the Predators work out a trade for Sidney Crosby or something crazy like that, the response to the disastrous 2024-2025 campaign is, well, we're not going to change much. And I'm sorry. That's not good enough. That is a Rand Carthian of Barry Trotz to look at all of us after getting housed by Detroit and saying, well, the ball didn't bounce our way. That's what it is. Well, you know, the guys like the coach and they say they like the coach, and but they didn't play well for the coach. And in the NHL, that usually gets the coach fired. Not around here. So you guys can say whatever you want about me and Barry Trotz. You guys can say, well, you're nice to him because you have him on the program. But at the same time, yesterday, I was incredibly disappointed by what I heard. Because I believed when they traded away Matthias Ekholm and they traded away Mikael Granlund and they traded away Tanner Jeannot and they traded away Nino Niederreiter and they got all those picks, I thought, hey, this is going to be a rebuild, which I had been begging for. At the end of the 2022 season, when they got swept by Colorado, I asked John Hines at the end of the season press conference, I said, do you really think you're one or two players away from being able to compete with the Colorado Avalanche who swept them? And Hines said yes. They added Ryan McDonagh and they added Nino Niederreiter. And they weren't very good. And finally, David Poile, who took him long enough, smelled the coffee, and realized it's time to blow it up. They started blowing it up. We wanted them to blow it up. I wanted them to blow it up. You wanted them to blow it up. So they blew it up. And at that point in time, I said, okay, it's going to be tough. Remember at the beginning of the year in 2023, 2024? No. Yes. 2023, 2024, when I said embrace the tank because they might need to be bad, we were okay with it. They signed the old pawpaws. They take a swing. It doesn't work. Fine. Big picture, what matters? Wood, Surin, Stiga, Mullendike, Schaefer, Edstrom, the kid they're going to pick fifth, the kid they're going to pick 23rd, the kid they're going to pick 26th. That's what matters, or at least that's what mattered to me as of 2:59 yesterday. But when Barry Trotz comes on the program and Barry Trotz says his priority is being good next year, well, you can't have it both ways. You're putting yourself on the clock for this upcoming season. I can't defend it if this team sucks again. I cannot defend him, and I cannot defend it. Because the thing this organization has to learn, you can't have it both ways. You can't try to win now and be planning for the future. It doesn't work like that. And so I would say, decide what you want. But the truth is, they decided, and they told us yesterday, they're more worried about next season than they are worried about 28 or 29. That's their choice. They made it. And then, every other choice since then, keeping the coach, keeping the same players, they're just going to run it back and hope for a different result. And I can see how they could lead themselves to believe in that. But it's not a very good strategy. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And I heard something from Trotz yesterday on the program that I thought, oh, no. Oh, no. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025 again. How likely is it that the guy playing center next to Steven Stamkos will, A, not be Steven Stamkos, and B, will be somebody who is not in the organization as of today?
Well, I'm hoping it's a guy that's in the organization today. My goal is to have Stammer not play center this year. I just think he can play center, and we tried it there. I got to get him back. I feel for the best area for Stammer to be Steven Stamkos, to get him back on the wing. In a perfect world, it would be Stammer playing with a guy like Svetch, or he's got to maybe play with Holla right now, based on what we have on our roster, unless we are able to acquire another centerman.
So if it's somebody that's on the roster, does that make you think that it would be Svechkov with Stamkos? That you're ready for Svechkov to be a second-line center in the NHL?
I know it's a stretch. That's why a move like Holla is a light move. He's played with guys like Hughes and Bratt and Mercer. So I know he can do that, but my goal is to get Svechkov to the second position, be it at the start of the year, end of the year, or next year.
That was Barry Trotz on the program yesterday, and I heard that and thought to myself, oh, no, 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 no. Red flag. Again, I was kind of, you know, I'm like everybody else. I put the lines together. So I do not want Steven Stamkos playing center. And I know last year they screwed up with Tommy Novak, so they put Stamkos at center. No. Stamkos needs to be on the wing, and he needs to be on that half wall in the power play, and he needs to be one time in the crap out of that puck. He needs to be a winger. That's what he is. So I was putting the lines together. Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Marchessault on one line. That makes sense. Stamkos, blank, Bunting on the second line. That would make sense to me. Svechkov can be your third line center. I think he probably fits in right now. You know, play him bottom 6 minutes, but maybe he could develop down the road into a second line center. And they're going to want to put Holla with Svechkov so that he can take defensive zone draws and things like that. So put him on the third line too. And go ahead and put Luke Evangelista, because he has to play somewhere, put him on the third line. And then the fourth line, the Scarbini line, Sissons will center that line. McCarron and Smith, who they're addicted to for whatever reason, put them up there too. Fine. So there's a giant hole right there in the middle, which is that second line center. And I asked Barry Trotz, I said, is it A, going to be Stamkos playing center, or is it B, going to be somebody in the organization, or C, somebody out of the organization? And he said he wants it to be somebody in the organization, i.e. Svechkov. Oh, brother. Fedor Svechkov had 17 points in 52 games last year. 17 points in 52 games. That is 27 points over the span of an 82-game season. Luke Evangelista, who had an abysmal season last year, had 32 points. And it's almost like the Predators just haven't learned from any of their mistakes. This time last year, they didn't have a second-line center because they had signed Marchessault and they had signed Stamkos, and it was like, well, we thought they'd be in the mix for Chandler Stephenson or maybe Elias Lindholm, and those guys were getting 8x8, so it was like, okay, well, that makes sense. Okay, well, we'll try Tommy Novak out. And I said, well, you better be prepared to have Colton Sissons centering the second line, because Tommy Novak looked like a boy amongst men in that Vancouver series. And they knew by the second period of the first game that Tommy Novak could not play second line center between Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. And then as we got into the first couple of weeks of the year, we had Barry on the program every week. I'd ask him about it and he'd say, well, I keep calling, but nobody wants to deal a second line center this early in the season. So if you get into next year and you're running out 27 points in Fedor Svechkov or Eric Holla and his 21 points in 69 games last year as your second line center, you think you're going to get any different result than you got last year? Do you really think you're going to get a different result? And see, this is unfair to Svechkov because he does project to be a solid player, but being a solid player and centering the line with Steven Stamkos are two totally different things. And so if the Predators are convinced that their team can be good, even though this exact team was bad last year with this exact same coach, if they're convinced that this team can be good next year, then they can't make the same mistakes that they made last year. And rolling the dice and saying, well, maybe Holla, maybe Svechkov can play center, that's the same crap they did last year. So if you're really hell-bent on this upcoming season being the priority, and this is what I got into it with Willie Donick about, if you're really into this idea that, hey, next year is the priority, and again, I'm not going to say I take offense to Willie saying that I'm playing gotcha with Trotz, because, I mean, I love Willie, and I don't take it personally, but I just don't think that's true. Like, I'm just trying to get Barry Trotz to state for people what they should be holding him accountable to. And he says the priority is next year. If that's the case, and you're hell-bent on making the dream of last year work, even though last year the results are in and it was a disaster, then you need to go get a real center on the second line. Not Eric Holla. You need to make a trade with the Minnesota Wild for Marco Rossi. You need to trade with the Rangers for Vinny Trocheck. You need to trade with the Bruins for Casey Mittelstadt or with the Avalanche for Charlie Coyle. You need a real veteran second-line center who's actually good. Now, Mittelstadt was awful last year, but that's the kind of guy you've got to get, as a guy that can play second-line center and be pretty good, like be okay. Because I can tell you right now, the Svechkov thing is not only a debacle waiting to happen, but it's going to put Svechkov in a tough spot. Again, they're going to run it back. Same coach, same everything. They changed one assistant coach. Whoa. They're going to run it back the same way. Svechkov is going to be penciled in as this team's second line center. Again, this is somebody who has 17 career points in the NHL. If Steven Stamkos does not score 5-on-5, it does not matter who he is playing with, that person will get the blame. So even though Fedor Svechkov is a young guy who doesn't even have an entire NHL season under his belt, we're now going to put him in position to where, okay, well, you better be good with Steven Stamkos, and you better be setting up Steven Stamkos to score. I mean, again, you did this last year. Now, I don't think Tommy Novak was ever going to be ready to be a second-line center, but you did this last year. You did the same thing. And so I heard that yesterday, and I was like, oh, my God. Oh, no. And so I feel bad for Svechkov because he's going to be this year the guinea pig. They're going to stick him out there. And I think Svechkov is probably, in a perfect world, a third-line center who may develop into a second-liner probably in 2 years. And for about a 3 or 4 year period, he's probably a second line player. And then he becomes kind of a middle six for the rest of his career, which there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what I'm looking for year two when you're playing with Steven Stamkos. So if you're going to do that, let me just say this. Offer Svechkov for Marco Rossi right now. If he's too little to play for John Hines, I am sure there are some dudes on your roster that John Hines has an absolute... Let me make sure I said that. I'm sure there are some dudes on your team that John Hines has an absolute woody for if you were to offer him up. Whether it's Sissons, Smith, McCarron, you know, some of these guys that he played that he just loves. Lazan, when he was the coach, they traded a second-round pick for Lazan. Maybe he loves him. I don't know. But go get Marco Rossi and go stick him there. A guy who actually can play that in the NHL. But don't be telling me that, oh, no, we're just going to stick Svechkov there, and that's going to be the answer. When the guy had 17 points last year. Oh, well, we'll just stick Eric Halla in there. Eric Halla, again, you're telling me, hey, Eric Halla is going to bring leadership to the room, and Eric Halla is going to take defensive zone draws, and Eric Halla is going to be on the penalty kill, and that's why we really have him, is to be a bottom six forward, and we think that it's important to have, okay, fine, in a pinch, he can go up into the top six. He had 21 points last year. 21 points. And that may be your second line center? Oh, holy crap. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on the Preds. 615-737-1025 here on the program. And there is something that came up as far as Trotz is concerned that I do want to get to at some point this hour. That I'm not saying Trotz isn't telling the truth, but I'm not sure he's telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We'll hit on that as well. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. If you are picking five next year in the draft, if this goes off the rails and this... Yeah. Do you expect to still be in this position? Do you feel like you're on the hot seat at all with how last year went with all the money that was spent and the results that were had?
I'll be honest with you, I never feel like I'm on the hot seat. It's just me.
You didn't feel like you were on the hot seat at the end there in Washington?
A little bit. Obviously, the expectations were we had gone two in a row. Yeah, that was probably the one time I felt like I was on the hot seat. And we won a cup, so I was off the hot seat. And then, you know, I think I'm at a point where in my career that I'm going to do what's best for the Nashville Predators, what's best for getting this organization in a position where they can continue to build a team that has good young players, a team that has the pipeline, a destination place, having the facilities. We got a great city, we got a great fan base, got great ownership, getting the facilities, up to date, and our, and this arena is going to have an overhaul, as you all know. This is a place where I want it set up for long-term success, and that's my only concern. And what ownership or management does with me, I have no concern. I don't get too wrapped up in that.
Hey, by the way, Steve in the YouTube chat, Steve, and I love him. He vowed last year to never listen to the show again because he got so mad. He was one of the, you know, let Rand Cook crewers. He was of the belief that the Titans were tanking on purpose, that it was an effort that Amy and Rand and everybody else were all in lockstep for in order to be able to draft Quinn Ewers. Clearly, that was not the case. But Steve yesterday texted into the show, and he said, "You didn't ask Barry Trotz if he's on the hot seat." Reed, we just played that cut. I'm pretty sure I asked Trotz if he was on the hot seat.
I think I've heard hot seat at least three times in that clip.
I mean, what are we talking about here, people? Give me a break. 615-737-1025 in our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joey from Bellevue says, "I think that Trotz knows this team and some of those choices put the organization in a bind, and that he won't come out and say it. He is trying to excite the fan base with his beliefs." So here's the one thing to understand about hockey. And if you're following some of this in sports, I'm obsessed with kind of the business angles of certain sporting stuff. And there is in sports, you know, the RSNs, the regional sports networks, FanDuel Sports South or whatever it is, that they're going away. If it's not tomorrow, it'll be the next day. They're going away. And hockey is the one sport that isn't as affected by this as baseball, which may end up having a strike over this because they don't make as much money from these TV deals, but they need the gate. They need people to show up to NHL arenas. I don't know if Barry Trotz is saying all of this stuff because he's trying to keep people in the building. I don't know. I will say this. I don't think Preds fans are excited by it. We're going to run everything back and try to do the exact same thing and just hope it works out better this upcoming year. I don't think that's going to sell tickets. So I don't know if he's trying to get fans excited, but that doesn't really matter. Fans were excited last year, and by the third week of the season, they wanted to fire the coach. So what really matters is whether or not they're actually going to win. So even if Trotz thinks he's put the team in a bind, then what Trotz needs to be doing is he needs to be talking about Wood and Mullendike and Surin and Stiga and who they pick and say, "Hey, judge me on that. Judge me on the future." And he didn't say that. And I gave him every opportunity yesterday on the show to say that. And he didn't say it. And if you're not going to say it, I can't say it for you, so I'm not going to. If you say the priority is next year, then I'm going to take you at your word and I'm going to say, okay, the priority is next year. Wouldn't be my priority, but that's his priority. One texter says, "Sounds like we should give you an application to be the Predators head coach or application to be the general manager. Or better yet, maybe a pair of skates to go score some goals for the Predators and earn some points." Yeah! So I don't really know what to make of that. Because you're telling me, like, "Oh, well, what do you know, Jared Stillman?" Well, here's what I know. I know that what they tried last year didn't work. And I thought it was going to work. I thought Burnett was a great coach. And I thought he did a great job that first year. And even though I wasn't keen on the whole Tommy Novak second line center thing, I figured it'll be okay. They'll figure it out. Even though both Roman Josi and Brady Shea shoot left-handed, I felt like that'd be okay. And even though I wasn't for the Soros contract, I didn't figure he'd be this bad. At the same time, if they want me to be general manager, I'll go be general manager. How about that? You're acting as if, oh, they want to hire me to be GM. I'm not the general manager. But at the same time, I mean, to think that we shouldn't be criticizing the decision to run everything back the exact same way is a little ridiculous. This is the NHL. When you have high expectations and you don't meet them, the coach gets fired. Everywhere but here. Well, you can and will be criticized for that. But if it makes you feel better to make me the bad guy, fine. It's not going to change. In fact, you were 30th in the league out of 32 teams last year. One texter says, "If they don't have someone in net, they can't stop the puck from going in. It doesn't really matter what they do." Well, I guess they're kind of stuck there, eh? One texter says, "John Tavares is a free agent, and so is Claude Giroux." So here's the thing on Tavares, and I think there was another center that I saw was a free agent that I would normally be like, huh. Here's the deal with the free agent market. The Predators, again, they say their priority is this upcoming season. If your priority was this upcoming season, you would be looking at John Tavares. Now, John Tavares may not want to come here, but you would be looking at John Tavares if that was your priority, was to win this upcoming season. So go ahead and give John Tavares 5 years and give him $7 million per and give him a full no move because your priority is this upcoming season. But they're not going to do that. And that's because they're trying to, quote unquote, thread the needle. And that's what I believe does not work. This idea of, well, we got these old guys signed to long contracts, so we're going to try to win with them right now. But we're also going to try to build for the future, so we don't want to sign too many guys to block spots for right now. And that's how we're going to end up with Fedor Svechkov as your second-line center or Justin Barron as your right-handed pair to Roman Josi. And then you'll lose. So I agree with you on the whole Tavares thing. If your priority is this year, go get Tavares. I don't really think that that's their priority. I don't. But they said it is, so I'm going to hold them to their word. Skyler says, Trotz can't tell the truth now. He has to lie to the veterans, saying that they are all in this year while having one foot in a rebuild and bringing in youthful guys. Trotz is in a hole now. So Barry Trotz said on the program that around the trade deadline last year that he went to the older guys and he said, are you in this or are you not? Just to recap, the year that we had with Barry Trotz, this time last year, they made the signings. That was a sign that they were going for it. Now, that is not a sign that they were going all in. And that is something that I highlight, especially with Adam Vingan, is all in means trading draft picks, trading prospects. You know, hey, the Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers and those teams have no picks because they're all in. And they didn't win. But they're all in. You weren't all in. You just went for it. It didn't work. Okay. Trotz said around Thanksgiving last year, if this team didn't turn it around by Christmas, he was going to go forward with the rebuild plan and start calling guys up. And that's exactly what he did, because he moved off guys like Tommy Novak, and he moved off guys like Alexander Carrier, and he brought in guys that, again, rebuilding teams would bring in, like a Justin Barron, or he brought in, up from Milwaukee, Fedor Svechkov and Zachary LaRue, and started putting them in the lineup. That's what you do when you're, okay, fine. Then at the trade deadline, Trotz came on this show, and he said he sat down with the core players, and we all know who that is. Josi, Forsberg, Soros, Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea. And he sat down with them, and he said, do you want to be here and be part of the solution, or do you want me to move you? And according to Trotz, what he said on the program was, they all said they wanted to be here and be part of the solution. Well, if Trotz says, hey, we tried it, but now we're rebuilding, that's all he telegraphed last year he was going to do. Trotz doesn't have to say, hey, our priority now is the future. To get Steven Stamkos to show up, that's what the money is for. That's what he's paid here to do. And if you want to be moved, be moved. But I'm sorry. You cannot say that Trotz can't say that a rebuild is the focus or the future is the focus because of how that'll make Marchessault feel. You can't do that. You can only go by what somebody will tell you. And this is what Barry Trotz is telling us. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Plus, there's one thing that Trotz disputed yesterday that I kind of have a hard time believing. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company and your phones, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Okay, well, we'll start with the Marchessault. Actually, minutes ago, the reason I was a minute late here was I was actually speaking with his agent, and there's no truth to any of that. So, you know, if Marshy is going to look for something, he's going to be calling his agent, and he's going to be calling me. So there's nothing to that. I just was checking in with him because people are going, you know, what's happening? And there's nothing happening. I didn't know if anything was happening, so I just double-checked with him that maybe I missed something. So I didn't miss anything. And, Marshy, I think, is, it was a difficult year for him. Everything from the family being his you know, he had some death in the family, and it, it busted up training camp for him, and you know, we got off the bad start and all that. So he produced pretty well, even though a lot of people will say he didn't have a really top year for him. He still produced at a pretty high rate. So I know he's too competitive not to have a good year.
There you go. That was Barry Trotz yesterday in the press conference saying, hey, all this stuff about Jonathan Marchessault requesting a trade, and I called his agent. He said, hey, that's not the case. So if I missed something, I don't know, but apparently Marchessault hasn't requested a trade one way or another. And in hindsight, I didn't ask about it yesterday because Trotz had the media availability and we ran that live. And quite frankly, it was like, okay, if they ask that, now that gives me time to ask other things. And in hindsight, I regret it for one reason, that I did not ask about the Marchessault thing, even though Trotz addressed it with the media, which was this. Trotz said the Marchessault stuff wasn't true. And that's fine. But do you know where the Marchessault stuff came from? It came from Elliot Friedman. Elliot Friedman is the one who reported, unbeknownst to all of us, that Jonathan Marchessault had a full no-move clause. So none of us knew for an entire year that Jonathan Marchessault had a full no-movement clause until Elliot Friedman reported it. Also, this is Elliot Friedman. And Elliot Friedman has been very direct in the way that he has been reporting this, which is, Marchessault would be open to being traded somewhere that had taxes similar to Tennessee. Again, that feels very specific. And one more time, that's Elliot Friedman doing that reporting. That's not some dumbass like Dave Pagliata who goes off and reports crap and has no sources in the NHL. That's Elliot Friedman. If you listen to Elliot Friedman when he's on the Midday Show and they ask him about which coach should be fired or which GM, he'll never answer those questions directly because Elliot doesn't want to burn his sources. He doesn't want to say, oh yeah, I think the Predators should fire John Hines, because he doesn't want John Hines not to pick up the phone and talk to him. But Elliot Friedman is insanely well-sourced. In fact, I expect the Midday Show to ask Elliot about Barry Trotz basically saying that Elliot Friedman's reports aren't true. Because what Elliot's putting out there is very specific. And what Trotz said in response was very specific and the exact opposite of what Elliot was putting out there. So what I believe is, I think Marchessault's agent's probably talking out of both sides of his mouth. And I think that's why Trotz said, well, I just called the agent. The agent said there's nothing going on. But I have a hard time believing that Elliot Friedman is not telling the truth. And again, Elliot Friedman doesn't need to have sourcing on a potential Jonathan Marchessault trade request in order to earn his stripes. He's a made man. He doesn't need that. So make of that what you will. 615-737-1025. Craig says, I still can't believe the Predators haven't made a move for Peter DeBoer. I get that Trotz decided to stay with Burnett, but when the circumstances change, you, talking about Trotz, has to adapt. I mean, they're going to run it back. They have convinced themselves of something that, again, is possible. But so is me being the president of the United States in 2028. It's possible. Probably not going to happen. But it's possible. Mike says, running everything back after an embarrassing season is what losers do. And that's what Barry Trotz is. Him and the head coach don't have the guys to fire, and now they should be a package deal. I'll say this. You can't say Barry Trotz is a loser. He's won the cup. He's going to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. You can't say he's a loser. That's the thing. People are like, you're hard on Rand Carthon. You're not hard on Barry Trotz. Yeah, because Barry Trotz won his first year as general manager. And Barry Trotz has a Stanley Cup. So I'm not sure you can necessarily say that. Brian says, I came into the conversation late, but I feel like the team needs a major shakeup after last year. And unfortunately, I just don't see this front office doing it. I think we're in for another rough season. I'll say this, though. I'd rather the Predators absolutely suck and be picking high next year in the draft than the Predators make the playoffs, lose in five games, and then say, oh, we were right there. And I really mean that. Oh, we were right there. That's the stuff I'm not interested in. 615-737-1025. I do want to read this self-aggrandizing text from T-Bone, who says, Jared, I don't always agree with you and with everything you say, but I do appreciate you asking the tough questions in the interviews that other media will not ask. Again, I don't know who you're referring to with other media, but I, T-Bone, appreciate your text. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the text line, you are going to decide, and apparently the phone lines, I guess I heard Adam Vingan say this today. Somebody texted and asked if the phone lines are down because they tried calling. And apparently Adam Vingan said if you have a Verizon phone, for some reason there's something out with Verizon. I don't know what it is. I have a Verizon phone. I don't think I've called anybody today, so I don't know if my phone's not working. But Vingan said that, so that may be the issue. But we're going to let the text line decide what the next topic is here at 4 o'clock. We have three options. There is a Brian Callahan Titans option, something that was written that I just, oh my God, that. There is an NBA take that I've heard nobody talk about and I think is actually kind of stunning. And there is an NFL story that is getting a lot of talk, but I'm not sure the fans care as much as the media apparently wants the fans to care about. So you pick. Your options are Titans, NFL, or NBA. Text line, you decide what the next topic is. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.